Civics 101 is supported in part by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Hey, I'm Nick Capodice.
And I'm Hannah McCarthy. Nick, do you know anything about the Senate filibuster?
I do, but first and foremost, I know it comes from the Dutch word meaning pirate. Do you know a pirate's favorite letter?
R.
R be fine. But his first love be the sea.
Okay, well, it's a good thing that we have Mitch Skaki and Christina Phillips here to tell us a little bit more about one of the most complicated and controversial topics in American politics on today's Civics Short.
It's designed with middle schoolers in mind, but can be a refresher for those of all ages. Take it away, folks.
Will this vote at all if it's destined for failure?
Diane, the answer is one word. It's the filibuster. The reason that it can't pass is because of the Senate filibuster, even if all of the Democrats
take 60 votes to end a filibuster on legislation, or 51.
If we could end it with 51, we would have no problem.
Filibuster, filibuster, filibuster. Opponents say it undermines our democracy and the will of the people, while supporters argue it's the cornerstone of the United States Senate and crucial to its success.
You could say it's a hotly debated topic. But what is the filibuster? Hi, I'm Christina.
And I'm Mitch. Today on Civic Shorts, we're exploring that pesky, tricky, unique Senate tool commonly known as the filibuster.
Well, let's stop filibustering and get on with this episode.
And I would go for another 12 hours to try to break Strom Thurmond's record, but I've discovered that there are some limits to filibustering, and I'm going to have to go take care of one of those in a few minutes here.
Republican Senator Rand Paul held a debate on the Senate floor for almost 13 hours in 2013 to stall a vote on President Barack Obama's nominee to run the CIA.
13 hours? Why is a senator allowed to do that?
It's called the filibuster. This is any attempt to block or delay Senate action on a bill or other matter. Call it an obstruction tactic.
You can think of it as talking a bill to death. And it can go on for hours. The senators just keep talking and talking and talking, hoping they can delay the Senate long enough to prevent it from voting on a proposal.
Senator Strom Thurmond spoke for 24 hours and 18 minutes in what would become the longest speaking filibuster in Senate history.
Senators can also filibuster by proposing a laundry list of amendments to bills.
Quite frankly, senators don't even have to talk about anything relevant while filibustering.
I do so like green eggs and ham. Thank you. Thank you. Sam, I am.
See? Not relevant at all. But he could carry out his quote-unquote debate as long as he pleased. Luckily, there is a way for the Senate to break a filibuster.
That's right. This is called cloture, which means you're ending debate and taking a vote. It's the only formal way to break a filibuster.
The Senate's cloture rule, known as Senate Rule 22, requires what's known as a supermajority to invoke cloture, or end debate.
There are different kinds of majorities in the Senate. With 100 senators, a simple majority is one more than half of the Senate, or 51 votes. A 3/5 supermajority is 60 votes.
This 3/5 supermajority, or 60 votes, is what it takes to invoke cloture, break a filibuster, and end debate.
Once cloture is invoked, the Senate can debate for another 30 hours, but after that, they have to stop and vote.
It's very difficult to reach the 60 votes required for cloture. Control of the Senate often goes back and forth between Democrats and Republicans, so the majority party typically has less than 60 members. So the parties have to work together to end a filibuster.
But in recent years, the political parties have become more divided, and so filibusters have become more common, almost expected.
So most things in the Senate need 60 votes to pass rather than the simple majority of 51.
So far, we've been discussing the talking filibuster, where a senator gets up and speaks for 13 hours to stall. But there's another kind of filibuster.
In the 70s, in the interests of efficiency, senators agreed to no longer require talking filibusters. Instead, now, if you just signal your intent to filibuster and have 41 votes on your side, a bill is...
This is the virtual filibuster. It's not actually a real filibuster, but just the threat of one. Think of it as one side suggesting that it will filibuster and the other side believing it. With the parties so divided, senators operate under the assumption that every proposal will be filibustered.
Senators threaten to filibuster much more often because they can achieve the same results, like stopping a bill or a presidential appointment, without having to go through the time and effort of speaking indefinitely on the Senate floor.
The filibuster, whether it's the threat of one or the real deal, has a deep history of obstruction.
But where did it come from?
Not from the founders or the Constitution. In 1805, Vice President Aaron Burr suggested that the Senate simplify its rulebook. The following year, the Senate took his advice and, as a consequence, removed a provision from its rules that would have allowed a simple majority to force a vote on a proposal.
So, the filibuster was a product of Senate housekeeping?
Yeah, I know. And over time, the filibuster and the right to unlimited debate stuck, becoming key features of the already unique Senate. And now, they have quite the reputation.
The filibuster was used extensively by segregationist senators to block civil rights legislation during the first half of the 20th century.
It's also been used more recently to block presidential nominees from appointment.
6 decades before I took office, only 20 presidential nominees to executive positions had to overcome filibusters. In just under 5 years since I took office, nearly 30 nominees have been treated.
The Constitution requires the Senate approve the president's choices for high-level government positions, like justices of the Supreme Court and cabinet members.
It's common for senators to filibuster the most important and controversial presidential nominees to prevent their appointments.
But the Senate has adapted to this.
It's called the nuclear option. This is even more complicated than the filibuster itself, which is why it'll probably be a whole other civic short.
The nuclear option is basically a procedure that allows the Senate to change its own rules without debate and with a simple majority of 51 votes. The change sets a new precedent for the Senate to follow. The nuclear option has been used, controversially, to break filibusters.
Here's an example. As we mentioned, Senate Rule 22 states that cloture to end a filibuster takes a 3/5 supermajority, or 60 votes. In 2013, Democratic Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid used the nuclear option for the first time to propose that cloture be invoked instead by a simple majority, or 51 votes, for all presidential nominations except to the Supreme Court. The presiding officer said no, because that violates Rule 22. A simple majority of the Senate then voted to overturn this decision and change the rules.
4 years later, the nuclear option was triggered again. This time, ending a filibuster with a simple majority of 51 votes for a Supreme Court nomination.
That historic move in the Senate, Republicans triggering the so-called nuclear option. That sets up a vote tomorrow now to confirm Supreme Court nominee Neil Gorsuch by a simple majority.
So why is the filibuster only a feature of the Senate? What about the House of Representatives?
Under Article 1, Section 5 of the Constitution, each House may determine the rules of its proceedings. Basically, the House and Senate get to decide their own rules. The House has set limits on debate, but the Senate, on the other hand, has not.
And what does the future look like for the filibuster?
Who knows? There are those who want to keep it, those who want to eliminate it, and those who want to reform it.
60-vote threshold is the reason why huge pillars of domestic policy don't oscillate back and forth every time a different party wins the majority.
We have to end the filibuster. It is just unfair and undemocratic for a minority of the Senate to prevent what the majority of people want in this country.
Supporters say the filibuster makes the Senate the unique body it was designed to be, helps the Senate resist the whims of public opinion, protects the Senate minority from the tyranny of the majority, and forces bipartisanship and compromise.
But its critics say the filibuster undermines the democratic process and representative government, defies the will of the people, provides too much power to the minority party, and is a tool of partisan obstruction and makes it too difficult to get anything done.
What would it take to get rid of it?
Besides ratifying a constitutional amendment, there are two ways to reform or get rid of the filibuster. One is for the Senate to formally change its own rules. This would require a 2/3 supermajority vote of senators present, or likely 67 votes. The other is to use the nuclear option. With a simple majority of 51 votes, the Senate could essentially change its rules to allow a simple majority to invoke cloture and break all filibusters.
So it's complicated.
This episode was produced by Mitchell Skocke with help from Jackie Fulton, Christina Phillips, Hannah McCarthy, and Nick Capodice.
Erica Janik is our executive producer. Music in this episode by Blue Dot Sessions.
You can listen to more Civics 101 at civics101podcast.org. Civics 101 is supported in part by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and is a production of NHPR, New Hampshire Public Radio.